And it's Palm Sunday throughout the world, celebrated with churches. I have to admit, for years, I thought Palm Sunday was just something added to the church calendar, you know, kind of make it cute for the kids with the palm branches and stuff like that. But I've grown to really appreciate Palm Sunday more and more. And why is Palm Sunday so important? Let me give you three quick reasons, and then we want to kind of talk about some of this. First, it was the triumphant entry of Jesus as king. Now, you got to remember that before this, Jesus' disciples were just getting on, were just catching on to the idea that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the king that's coming. Everyone else, all the crowds, the religious leaders, they were always arguing. Do you think he thinks he's the Messiah? I don't know. I heard him say this. Yeah, but the Messiah is this. And so they're all kind of going back and forth. Well, he laid that whole thing to rest on Palm Sunday because he came marching into Jerusalem just like the scriptures said that the King of Kings would. In fact, take a look at Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. I think we have it up here. Everyone, all Jews knew about this verse. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So everyone knew this. So when Jesus comes walking or kind of riding in to Jerusalem, everyone kind of was like, this is the king. Or some people were saying, he is saying he's the king. So this was very important. You know, the long-awaited king was coming in. A second thing about Palm Sunday is it introduces the final week of Jesus here on earth. Because by the end of the week, he was going to be crucified, right? And a week later, he'd be resurrected again. And some of Jesus' most important teachings, some of the most important parables that were given to the disciples, to the crowds, even to the religious leaders, were given on this one particular week. You know, we're going through, in the house churches, Journey Through the Bible. We still have volume 3 to do. Volume 3 is going to be just on Holy Week, Semana Santa. You know, that's because one-third of the Gospels devotes itself to the last week of Jesus' life, you know. So he's introducing what's happening here. Also, we could say, going along with this, it could be summed up this way. Jesus, his teachings, Jesus was going to be that perfect forever sacrifice for mankind. Here was coming the Lamb of God. Okay, and as the Lamb of God, he was what? He was going to die for our sins. He was going to bring us to God. He was going to give us eternal life. The third thing, reason why this is important, Palm Sunday, is that Palm Sunday is prophetic of the next time Jesus comes as the second coming. I mean, so many things are just identical. You know, he's going to be coming from the Mount of Olives. He's going to be going through the Golden Gate, the same gate he went through before. And the next time, he's going to be coming as the King of Kings. He's going to be coming to set up his kingdom in fullness as the eternal king. Now, yeah, the kingdom of God is already here, but it's not in its fullness. It will when he comes back again. So there's just a lot of beautiful things about this event. So I want to talk a little bit today about how Palm Sunday was really the way that was really preparing the way for the king. And we want to especially look at the second coming. You know, one of the things that Zechariah said, Zechariah 9:9, is, "Behold, your king is coming." So let's kind of review this story real quick. And by the way, this is one of the few places, one of the few stories that is mentioned in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So you know it's got to be pretty important. In fact, not even the birth of Jesus is in all four Gospels. There's only about five or six things that are in all four Gospels. John the Baptist, that story, the story of the feeding of the 5,000, the death and resurrection of Jesus, of course, is in all four Gospels, and Jesus coming into Jerusalem. So you know it's got to be pretty important. And each of the accounts, kind of sometimes they'll add a little something else that maybe the other one doesn't. So I'm just going to kind of summarize it to you. Jesus and his disciples, it's the week of coming up to Passover, and everyone's piling into Jerusalem from all over the world. Jews all over the Mediterranean world coming into Jerusalem. And Jesus is at the Mount of Olives, which is right outside. Actually, today it is in Jerusalem, but it was outside overlooking. And he and his disciples are there, and Jesus tells his disciples to do something kind of odd. He says, "Listen, go to that village over there, and you're going to find a donkey. And with that donkey, you're going to find a colt, you know, a baby donkey. And I want you to bring both of them to me." And someone's going to ask you, "Hey, what are you doing?" And you just tell them, "The master's in need of this." And they'll let you take it. And that's exactly what happened. And by the way, I've always been fascinated by that, because that's mentioned in all four of the Gospels too. I think, can you imagine the step of faith that the disciples go? They go to this village. Oh, he's right. There's a donkey and there's a colt. Well, we'll start getting them, and who's going to stop us? And someone, sure enough, says, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Well, the master says he needs them." "Okay, go ahead." Whew. You know, because, you know, the police going to come, or they're going, you know, what's going to happen? But they took a step of faith, didn't they? Okay, then he gets on the donkey, the colt, and they put some clothes on top of it, and he starts riding down the mountain into Jerusalem. And then something happens. All of a sudden, crowds come out of nowhere, everywhere, because all of a sudden, word's gotten out in Jerusalem. Jesus of Nazareth, he's coming into town for Passover. And everyone rushes out. And then something very spontaneous happens. All of a sudden, people start shouting. People start throwing their clothes out into the road, you know. And they get leafy branches, especially palm branches, and they cover it as he kind of comes in. And everyone's kind of shouting. And what are they saying? Well, Matthew says it this way. Matthew says they're saying, "Hosanna to the King of David." You know what Hosanna means? It says, "Save us." You know, bring salvation to us. And the Son of David, everyone knew that the Messiah was going to be a descendant of David, that he would be called the Son of David. And so basically, all of a sudden, the crowds are shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the name. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." By the way, that whole phrase, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," that's prophetic too in the Old Testament. And Jesus said, when he comes back the second time, that's what all the Jews are going to be shouting. All of a sudden, they're going to receive him as Messiah. Mark account says, they said, because they're shouting all sorts of stuff, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." Again, they're obviously saying, this is the king. Luke says, it says the whole crowd began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. Others say, like that, you know, others say they all of a sudden started shouting. And blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were really upset. In fact, they said, Jesus, rebuke your disciples, rebuke the crowds. And what did Jesus say? He said, I tell you, if these are silent, the stones will cry out. And they were like, all of a sudden, all of Jerusalem is welcoming Jesus as king. You know, John 12 talks about that all the people who lived in Bethany, which is on the other side of the Mount of Olives. See, the week before, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And they all kind of came in and they were saying, this is the one who raises people from the dead. He brings life. And so all of Jerusalem is in a great stir, it says. They are excited. Everyone's kind of saying everything. And John also says it this way, too. It says, the disciples didn't even understand what was happening and after he had gone to heaven. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, he was on a donkey. He came in. That's why everyone was shouting. But it was something spontaneous. It wasn't something that everyone got a Twitter on or, you know, kind of, you know, okay, head to the, you know, road coming from Bethany, from Mount Olives and kind of come to the, you know, start shouting. It's just something that happened. And then one other thing about this story that's significant, as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he starts weeping. You think, wait a minute, I thought he's coming in as king. Yeah, but he started weeping over Jerusalem because he says, you have missed the time of your visitation. He knew that what? 4 or 5 days later, they weren't going to be saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. They're going to be saying what? Crucify him, crucify him. So he was weeping over. So anyway, this is the story of Palm Sunday. And the reason we call it Palm Sunday, because they laid down the palms. They prepared a way for the king. And by the way, there's been a long tradition of preparing the way for a king. Or military champions or whatever. The Roman conquerors, what they would do, there's a whole street in Rome that was devoted when Roman generals came home after a big victory, they would have a march through town and all the crowds would be there. In Paris, the most famous street in Paris, the Champs-Élysées, is also considered, a lot of people say it's the most beautiful, most famous in the world, you know. And in that, they built a big arc, Napoleon did, just for when he came, when he would come back from victories, he would come marching through that arc. And like this, there it is right there. And it's still there. I mean, it's massive in the whole city. In fact, when Hitler took over Paris at the beginning of World War II, he purposely had to kind of go down there and parade through that and go through the arc. When Eisenhower and the Allies reconquered France, they did the same thing. And this past Sunday, I happened to be walking down there, down the street, and all of a sudden, police cars started holding crowds back. And you know who was coming down? It was the Paris Saint-Germain, who is that? Who knows? Big soccer team. They just kind of won the kind of equivalent to they became the champions for Europe. And so the police were there because a lot of times there's riots in Europe over soccer and everything. And but, you know, I kind of, you know, I thought, oh, yeah. So this has always been a tradition of paving the way for someone important. How about Jose de la Borda? Who knows who he is? ¿Dónde están los mexicanos? Wait a minute. Okay, I'm going to give you a history lesson. Actually, he was born in France, Joseph de la Borda, but he changed his name to Jose de la Borda. And he lived in the 1700s. And he decided to kind of go and try to you know, make it rich. And he did. He went to a place called Taxco, Mexico. Who's ever been to Taxco? Okay, more people have been to Taxco. Okay, and he became a silver baron. He made it rich in silver. In fact, he soon became the richest person in all of Mexico. And then he became the richest person for a short time in the 1700s in all the world. A Mexicano. Okay, now see, now you Mexicans need to kind of learn your history a little bit better. Okay? So anyway, he was a very, I don't know whether he was born again, but he was very religious. And he built this elaborate church building in Taxco. I think we have a picture of that. Gold, silver. I mean, it just drips with it. And the thing is, if you go there today, it's just like, it's all over the place. And the thing is, most of it's gone. Because they put it in the Basilica in the Zocalo in Mexico. And also, since he's part French, it's in Notre Dame in Paris. You know, but he got it in his head that he wanted the Pope to come visit. This is in the 1700s. And he wrote the Pope and he said, if you come to Mexico and you come to, of course, Taxco, because that's where he said, I will pave a road of silver all the way from Veracruz to Taxco through the mountains. And they said he could do it too. He had that much money. And I mean, that's like going from Denver to maybe Aspen in the 1700s, paving a road of silver. That's how rich the guy was. By the way, he took it back to Europe. He didn't leave it in Mexico. But okay, so now some of you have a little bit more history. So anyway, that's the outside of the building. But you know, why would he want to pave a road? Because that's a way of preparing something. By the way, even today in the United States, like the world champion football team last month. That's right. Okay, you know, I don't need to say anything. We have an expression in English, roll out the red carpet. That's you prepare the way for someone very important, right? Well, that's the whole idea of putting the palm branches down for Jesus, the King of Kings. Why do people do this? To give honor, to prepare the way for an important figure. And, you know, I think, actually, I've been down the road from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. It's a cobblestone road. It's not that big. It's still there. Same one that was there. Bobby's been there before. Judy has. And I couldn't help thinking as I was going down that, this is the road that Jesus walked down with the crowds all over the place. And I think about, that's got to be one of the most important times of all history. When Jesus Christ, who is going to become the Lamb of God, you know, came into the holy city of Jerusalem. Wouldn't it have been great to have been there? And then I think about, you know what? We can be part of the generation that will prepare the way of the King for the second coming, which will be an even more important entry, the second coming of Jesus. We are a generation called to prepare the way for the coming King. Because the King Jesus is coming back to earth and he's going to set up a kingdom. It's going to be an everlasting kingdom. You know what everlasting kingdom means? It's never going to end. It's going to live for eternity. It's going to be a lot of kingdoms here in this earth, they may, Napoleon, he was kind of for about 12 years, you know, the communist regimes in Soviet Union, there was longer, it was about 40 or 50 years. You know, sometimes you have kingdoms that maybe even last a couple hundred years, but we're talking about an eternal kingdom. We're also talking about a kingdom that's characterized by true justice. I'd like to be a part of that kingdom. By righteousness, mercy, truth. You know, something I think we all are aware of, This world is sick of its leaders. Have you even heard that maybe in the presidential race? You know, they're tired of the injustice, the hatred of others, the corruption, the self-seeking of politicians. And we don't have to give names. We don't have to kind of, you know, it's every party, every country of the world. The last 6 months, we've heard a lot about the anti-establishment. You know what? There's always been anti-establishment, you know. Maybe not as much in this country, but it's not anything new. People have talked of revolution for years. I mean, the United States, we had a revolution. Russia had a revolution. Cuba had one. China had one. Mexico had one. France had one. You know, all the colonies in Africa and Asia and Latin America, you know what the problem with revolutions is? When it gets replaced, it may be better than what was before. But sooner or later, you still get sinful men into office. And then a generation later, they're kind of talking about revolution again. Actually, in Mexico, there is a revolutionary party. You know, the PRI. And because the idea was, we always want to be in revolution because we always need to change something. And you know what? They do. And so do we. And how about in Guatemala? Have you ever had any, or have you always had good leaders there? Well, we know one that was a good leader, right? When you were governor, but that's right. But, you know, but aside from our brother here, you know, it's just the story of mankind. You know, but listen, there's a true revolution coming. Jesus is going to bring it. He's going to set up a kingdom that's going to be eternal, that's going to be perfect. And we are called to help prepare the way for it. You know, I don't want to get off on Donald Trump, on Bernie Sanders, but I will say this. Anything they promise is not going to happen the way that, you know, America's not going to be great again. It's not going to be something where everything's going to be free. You know, those things just don't happen. Don't invest yourself there. Invest yourself into the kingdom of God. That's the real one. You know, let's take a look at Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9. This is the generation that prepared the way for the king at the second coming. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Why are they clothed in white robes? Because they've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And palm branches were in their hands. What's the significance of that? They were preparing the way for the second coming. That's what that's about. You know, in fact, okay, we even got a picture of them. You know, they're preparing the way. You know, and we want to be that generation. Let's take a look at Psalm 24. Could be the last passage we're going to look at. Psalm 24. Let's look at verse 7. It says, "Lift up your heads, O gate." Maybe I should mention this. When I was trying to figure, I think I was in first grade. So that was a long time ago, you know. And first grade, and I was at Vacation Bible School. And for some reason, we had to memorize this passage. And I have to admit, for years, even after I came to be a pastor, I didn't really understand what this passage is about. And why were they making first graders memorize this? Now I know. It says, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This King of glory, this King of glory is Jesus Christ at the second coming. That's what he's talking about. Because he's coming and he's going to set up a glorious kingdom. You know, he's going to have a glorious rule. You know, he's going to reign from the glorious city of Jerusalem. We're going to be glorified in our new bodies. It's going to be a time of glory. And strong, mighty in battle, you know what he's referring to? He's going to put to death everything. He's going to defeat all enemies. Death, he's going to, injustice, all that's going to be completely destroyed, conquered. And the gates and the doors, notice it, it's plural. It's gates and doors. They're to open up for him. It's to swing open the gates. And you know, I think that's really talking about something spiritual that we are supposed to do. And I wish we had time to kind of really talk about this a lot more. But right above this, it talks about, the passage talks about, actually it's kind of interesting. We sang that song about, you know, up, you know, subire al monte, you know. It talks about, you know, who can go up to the mountain? It says, those with clean hands, those who have a pure heart, those who have not lifted their soul to falsehood. And it says, this is the generation of those who seek him. And then he starts talking about the King of glory. It's talking about a generation that's going to open the doors, open the gates for the king to come in. It's talking about something spiritual here. It's talking about a generation. And that's why that picture with, you know, at the last days of the multitude from all nations with palm branches, that's the generation that's going to prepare the way for the King of Kings. It's going to be, what happened on Palm Sunday was just prophetic of a generation. That's us, brothers and sisters, that can pave the way. Not literally with palm branches, but with pure hearts. Going to the mountains, you know, and preparing the way for the King of Glory. That is what we've been called to do. And on a personal level, for us to be a generation, that means all of us personally, we need to be preparing the way for the King. You know, again, seeking the Lord, clean hands, pure hearts, not lifting our soul to falsehood, but preparing the way of the King, proclaiming the message of salvation to the world, to all the nations, because the generation that welcomes the King is going to be from what? All peoples, tribes, and nations of the world. That's why I think one of the things God's doing, he's bringing churches together that are multi-ethnic, because he's getting ready to prepare this. The question we need to be asking ourselves, is he our Lord? We say, blessed is the name, is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That's Jesus. Is he our Lord? Is he our King? That means obedience, if he's our King. It means serving him in his purposes. It means worshiping him. Probably those three words probably describe it well. Obedience, worship, and serving. Is that the way we see King Jesus? That's going to be the generation that's going to welcome Jesus in. So, let's ask ourselves, have we signed up to be part of that generation? Do we have palm branches in our hands? Spiritually speaking, that's what God is asking us to do. Amen? Let's pray. And I want us to take this time to declare to the Lord that you want to be part of this generation that will prepare the way of the King. That means living a holy life. It means obeying him. It means serving him. It means worshiping him. Lord, we thank you for that first entry into Jerusalem when you came in to be that sacrifice for us, to die for our sins, to give us eternal life, to put the kingdom of God in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for what's going to be coming, perhaps very likely in our generation, where you're going to be coming to set up your kingdom in fullness. Lord, we want to be part of that generation that it says in Psalm 24 that welcomes the King of Glory, that helps open the gates, that opens the doors, that prepares the way for you to come. Lord, we ask that you would take our lives and that you'd make us that type of people. Lord, as a church, we want to be a church, Emmanuel Fellowship, that is preparing the way for the King. And Lord, as individuals, we want to be preparing the way for you to come to earth to set up your kingdom. Lord, when we look around this world, we see so much injustice, so much corruption, so much liars that are leaders that lie and deceive, are just seeking their own agenda. Lord, we long for the day that you come to earth and you set up your kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.